The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is Bernie Edwards, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 274 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean.
Have you forgotten my name? Or are you going to say something sassy?
All you runners look alike.
Oh, okay. I thought this was going to be an Apple Watch comment or a Boston Marathon comment.
I haven't got the time to talk about Apple Watch.
Bada bing. Well, you know, I have a shout out that actually isn't running related this week. And this is, bear with me for a second. So you and I had the privilege of having dinner with one of our buddies, Bernie Edwards, who's a former Walt Disney World Moms panel. Just, he's been on the show. He's very inspirational, a very, very nice guy. And I brought Liam with me to dinner, and I was talking about the fact that my other son is graduating from college, and he said, "I didn't know you had another son, because you never talk about him on the podcast. See, he doesn't want to be mentioned." So my son, Evan, is graduating from college this weekend, and I'm really, really proud of him. He isn't really a runner, and I don't know if he'll hear this, but he's graduating after 3 years, and I'm really excited. So, and the speaker's going to be Neil deGrasse Tyson, so that's my shout-out. So I'll get him to listen to the beginning of episode 274, just so he can hear it. So, yay!
Yay!
one kid through the college pipeline. I know at least one person on this podcast tonight will appreciate that too.
Yeah. Who knows? Anyways,
or maybe not.
It is time to do a review of a Run Disney weekend. And so we have invited two people who participated and friends of the show, friends of ours. First, we'd like to bring back and introduce Melissa Iannetta. Hello, Melissa.
Hi, Mike.
Dr. Melissa.
Dr. Melissa.
But you can just call me Melissa.
I'll call you Mel.
You can call me Dr. Michelle Melissa.
But you don't even play
yes,
a doctor. On, you don't even play a doctor on television.
I know, yeah.
Anyways.
I do.
And also with us is Periscope broadcaster Phil Vanderpool. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me back.
You were thanks for coming back, and thank you for streaming on Saturday night. It was kind of funny because you did have competition, as many people were were streaming the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight too, so that was
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, those streams were taken down, but ours was not.
Do we want to start off just talking about that? Because I think that's kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, Phil, why don't you tell everyone what you did Saturday night and talk a little bit about the technology that you used.
This is completely Phil's idea.
Yeah, sure. So, basically, I've been listening to a lot of radio shows that started doing something called periscoping from their studio, and I had no idea what that was. So I took a look at it and realized it was just basically a way to stream live video from your phone. It was tied to a new social network, and embarrassed I hadn't heard about it until now. But I checked it out, and it was surprisingly easy to just throw up good quality live broadcast video. With good audio, and we were going to help out with the social media for the event that evening, and I thought Periscope would be a great fit. We knew there was a lot of people at home who wished that they could be at the race, but for whatever reason, couldn't, and figured it would be a good way to bring a little taste of the event into their living rooms or wherever they happen to be.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of the old Ustream, did you ever use that, Phil?
I've watched Ustreams. I've never streamed
from it. Well, it's just so, like, the technology in the past few years has just been, you know, it's improved so much. And what you were able to show was just, like, pretty much flawless. It didn't hiccup, and people can respond. They can actually text on the screen and do hearts if they like what you're doing. And is it part of Twitter? My understanding it's part of Twitter.
It's linked to Twitter. I'm actually not sure if it's part of Twitter, if they just use the Twitter credentials to log you into the system. I'm not actually sure about that.
I listened to a podcast today that was by Leo Laporte, who's a technology guy at Twit, and he was talking about it. And it was about a month ago, so I feel out of the loop too. But I guess there was another company called Meerkat, and now Periscope has kind of pushed that out of the way because it is part of Twitter. So
I did know Meerkat, so I'll retain a little street cred.
But. But it was really cool, and it actually saves the video because I couldn't watch all of it, and I watched you ride Expedition Everest and Dinosaur the next day on our Mickey Miles podcast feed. So that was really kind of cool.
That was a lot of fun because I was showing a little bit of the after party, and because you get the feedback from the people who are watching, I said, what do you guys want to do? And somebody suggested Everest, and said, that was a no-brainer. I wish I had thought of that, and it was great to be able to do that. Everybody seemed to love it.
I can't believe you held the phone straight.
Yeah, that was actually my biggest fear. I was joking around. I wasn't afraid of the ride. It's really just holding on to the phone in general.
You did a great job. And just being able to hear the announcers and kind of see the atmosphere, and you interviewed some people. So that's definitely something that we want to keep up and do again. But I want to thank both of you and Eve, too, your wife, for doing the social media for us, because it kind of kept us all part of the loop. So that was nice. Thank you so much.
We should also mention that it makes sense that Phil would come up with this, since he and Eve have a website called Monorail Media.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Oh, thank you, Mike.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that goes without saying that if anybody's going to have that technological edge and street cred, it's going to be you guys. So thanks again, Phil. Let's talk about what is reportedly going to be the last, or it has been the last Expedition Everest race weekend. So I like to turn to Melissa, and I'm going to ask you to tell us about the great Expedition Everest Expo.
Well, I hate those crowds you're facing at those expos, you know. I mean, I'm sure there were milers there, but I just couldn't find them in the press. I found it charming, but, you know, I'm kind of a weirdo. It was tiny. It was the tiniest thing. It was like, somebody on the team posted, hey, you guys went to a farmer's market. there was where you picked up the bibs, and they did have a printer, which was some people were concerned about because it was so small. You picked up your number, you picked up your bib. There was the shirt that a couple of us tweeted out over social media. The shoes, and they have the New Balance shoes. And if you wanted the shoes, this was the time to get them because there was nobody there. You know, I was standing around chatting. I just felt so bad for some of the people because there was nothing for them to do when I came through on Friday. And I was chatting, and one of the people who were working the Run Disney merchandise van, I guess you'd call it, said, watch in June because they're going to announce something big in June. So everybody wait and see if that's true or if it's just another bus driver's tale.
So before the expo for the Expedition Everest was kind of at the top of the baseball field where the Atlanta Braves play in that kind of that corridor area. And this time it was out in the parking lot of
Animal Kingdom.
Of Animal Kingdom. Yep. Under in a tent.
Yep. And well, in a series of tents, to be fair, there was at least three of them.
Three whole tents. Wow. Sorry, I misunderstood.
I know. And only the New Balance and the sort of Run Disney van. It's the same like van you see at on like race weekends that they drive up on Sunday to Downtown Disney to sell off the last of the merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
It was that one. So you could get the pin, you could get the T-shirt, you could get the New Balance shoes. It was nice for me because I wasn't staying at a host resort, so I could just jump on the Animal Kingdom bus and go over there and just walk across the parking lot.
So can you tell me, like, where in the parking lot was it? Where were the buses dropping people off for this three-tent extravaganza?
Since I took the Animal Kingdom bus from Wilderness Lodge, I just got dropped off where you always get dropped off. And Over there, Michelle. It was over there.
Like, was it a 10-minute walk into the... Because parking lot can be hot.
Well, it was a 10-minute walk for me because I started out going in the wrong direction, which is the story of my life. But you had to kind of walk all the way down the walkway.
It was you were entering by car. It was right before you make that left to go into the parking lot. They had it there right on the right, which I think is Unicorn.
Okay.
That sounds right. That sounds right.
Wow. So that's where you got your bib and your t-shirt.
Got my bib, got my t-shirt. I always buy the pins, apparently I don't like money. Got my t-shirt, and then I went over and bought matching Animal Kingdom Mickey Mouse ears for me and my friend who I was running with. So that was the expo. Oh, and they had the photo ops. That was another thing. It was killing me that I didn't have somebody there with me. They had these cute little photo ops that you would normally wait in line forever for, and you could have just walked up and taken a picture. And there was this sad little Run Disney sign hanging out all by itself that said, "There's a course talk 3 times today at these hours." And I mean, since that I know of, they hadn't let anybody know there was going to be a course talk. So I can't imagine massive amounts of people showed up.
No, yeah, I agree. I had a similar experience. I always tend to go 1.5 to 2 hours before the expo closed, just because there's literally no lines, but there's always some people. And I think it was myself, my daughter, and all the volunteers. There was literally nobody else there. And it was kind of it didn't look like there was really a lot of effort that went into it. And to be fair, I think they did call it a packet pickup instead of an expo. So that made sense. But I mean, there was not a lot of exhibitors or vendors, which makes sense if it's just packet pickup, but it kind of seemed like they were going through the motions. Like they needed some place to do this. And there was a cheer event over at ESPN. So I'm assuming that's why they didn't want to flood it with 6,000 people coming in to pick up their stuff. But it kind of seemed like a sad send off to the final race.
So you mentioned 6,000 people, Phil. I know I was there last year. I don't remember how many people ran last year, but is there any way you can give us a sense of whether or not this so-called last Expedition Everest was possibly the lightest field?
It seemed very light when we were waiting for the race to start. It seemed like there was a lot more people there last year.
Sell out though, Phil?
It did, but you know, the sellout's always a strange thing with Run Disney. I'm not sure if it sold out immediately. I forget. But I mean, they can change the numbers at will. I mean, if they didn't want to have a big event, you know, they could shrink that number down and only allow a certain amount of people into it. But I honestly couldn't tell if it was less people or it was just a bigger waiting area, because it seemed a lot lighter. The lines for photos, though, the photo opportunity line seemed bigger than ever. So if that's any indication.
So take us to Saturday evening prior to the race, with everyone gathering, and give us an idea of, I know last year it was kind of rainy. How was the weather this year?
You couldn't ask for better weather this year. I mean, for an event, for a Run Disney event, for running in general, you could not ask for better weather. It was absolutely perfect.
Now, I want to ask Melissa. Now, I know that you stayed at a resort that you had never stayed at before, and so could you tell us where you stayed at and how you got to the race from that resort?
Sure. I stayed at Wilderness Lodge for the first time, and it was very interesting to me because I usually stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge, but I didn't make my reservations in time, you know. And the similarities, of course, in architecture between Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom Lodge were very apparent to me, but I did not like the way they had the – I'm a Disney Vacation Club member, and I didn't like the way they had the rooms off to the side. And then in order to, like, go to the restaurant or whatever, you had to walk up to the hotel. It was nice, though, that the night of the race, we just we hopped a cab, and my friend and I, and we were in line for a cab, and we saw these two women in front of us with tutus and animal ears on. So I walked up and I said, "I suspect you're going to the animal race over at Animal Kingdom. Do you want to split a cab?" And so then it only cost us a couple of dollars each. And my friend had left her car at Animal Kingdom when she had picked up her bib earlier that day. So we just drove home afterwards, and that was great.
Cool. So I guess I've never stayed at DVC Wilderness Lodge before.
It's way off to the side.
It's off to the side. Interesting.
And the buses, I mean, my big complaint was, one, I got two bad meals. The two meals I ate in Wilderness Lodge were bad. And two, and more importantly, the buses, you're either sharing buses with Fort Wilderness or you're sharing buses with the Contemporary. And it just, I time buses on my phone to keep myself from getting unfairly impatient. And the wait for the buses was the worst I've had.
Interesting.
But I have to say the boat ride over to Magic Kingdom almost made up for it, you know, because it was beautiful weather. And I took the to eat with some of the Milers. I took the launch over to Magic Kingdom, and I just sat there and the wind in my hair, and it was lovely.
That's awesome. So, Phil, because you did Periscope, I really feel like I got a good sense of what the pre-race atmosphere was like. And I want to say it was mellow.
It was very mellow. I mean, it was a good time, though. I mean, and I think that, you know, as far as the evening event, I had a blast. I thought they did everything very well. I also had a different perspective because I was went off in A corral. I've heard that people who went off in the rear corrals had a really long wait. I guess that's because of the small amount of places to run. With that many runners, they had to space them out. I think it was 6 or 7 minutes apart. So it seemed that was the only complaint I heard from my perspective, though. You know, I thought everything kind of went off without a hitch.
With how many corrals? Any idea?
I think it went up to J. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Wow. For a 5K.
For a 5K. And they were smaller corrals.
Yeah.
You know, they hit the new quota for how Run Disney is doing them.
So, Phil,
but you know, they usually go off 2 minutes apart. 6 minutes is a long time to wait if you're in J.
Right.
You probably some of the runners in A finished before some of the runners in J took off.
Yeah, actually, when we crossed the finish line, they were still shooting people out.
Wow.
So, were there a lot of costumes this year? I didn't see many on what you broadcast, which I know wasn't
not
everybody.
Many.
Yeah.
No, not many. A lot of wilderness explorers. I mean, that's par for the course.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really it. There wasn't that elaborate, you know, all out kind of sense that you usually get from the other events.
And the announcers were, Carissa might be her last one for a while, cause she's expecting very soon. And, John Pelkey were there too. And there was a DJ. So, you know, there's a little bit going on in terms of, the pre-race. Melissa, why don't you tell us your experience with the race itself?
Well, one thing that was kind of funny for me through the whole experience is my friend has never done a Run Disney event before. So she thought it was great. You know, she wasn't like, her hair wasn't blown back, but she loves Animal Kingdom, which is one of the reasons we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't fireworks going off when you went through the start, which I don't think there was before at Expedition Everest, but anyway. And people around me were yelling, "Where are fireworks? Where are fireworks?" And she's like, "What are they talking about?"
Wow, yeah. So this is really low budget, huh?
No fireworks at the Animal Kingdom to disturb
the
animals.
Yeah, because it's Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, right.
Well, there was like steam that came out of the top or something. I guess you could say it's like the steam off the train.
Yeah, Phil actually showed that on one of his videos. Yeah. That was cool.
Yes, I have to admit I haven't looked at the videos yet, Phil. Sorry, I was there. So,
yeah, of course.
And we went off in Corral C, and we took our sweet time because, you know, you saw I tweeted out on the podcast Twitter of me sitting in there enjoying a flower and garden with my champagne and my ceviche, you know.
Just what you want before you run, raw fish.
It's amazing how many people I've talked to who are like, I made bad food choices. but we had fun, and we ran, and we stopped for the pictures, and there was Chippendale and Timon and King Louie were the pictures, as one might expect. And I really enjoy being in Animal Kingdom at night. Like, the only sad thing to me about this race going away, frankly, is I hope they replace it with something else that you get a leisurely Animal Kingdom race at night. It wasn't too crowded at any point, but again, I wasn't back in J, I was in C, you know? And in fact, at one point, when we had gone out and coming back or something, or when we had just come through the finish for the 5K and we were starting the scavenger hunt, which is a whole other conversation. We noticed that there were still people barely making that first turn away from the start. And we were like, oh my goodness, how long are they spacing it out? Because I don't think, Phil, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I don't think the earlier corrals, I think we were smaller. So there wasn't any 6 minutes between A and B and B and C. There were 2 to 3 minutes between us. And then when you got to the back corrals, they were slowing it down.
Yeah, and I'm taking somebody else's word for it. I went off in A, so I have no idea.
That's par for the course for a Disney race, right? The earlier corrals go off faster because they're smaller and they're hypothetically supposed to have quicker people in them. And in the back corrals with the newer runners, a lot of times they give more time to get them off.
But not necessarily for a 5K. Usually a 5K is when you sign up for it, right?
Yeah. But this one, and that was a big part of the talk at the Mickey Miles meet. Hello to the people who came. Thank you. I wasn't sitting there by myself.
Thank you for hosting that.
Oh, it was fun. It's always a tremendous amount of fun when you get us together. But nobody could figure out, because we're all standing around trying to figure out, how did they do this? When did you register? And none of us could. We really couldn't find a pattern. Which would continue to be my trend when we had to do the scavenger hunt, and I couldn't find patterns there either.
So, Phil, can you walk us through where the course went?
Sure. Yeah. So the course basically went off, in its usual location where it kind of takes you around the edge of the parking lot, and from the edge, sort of, I guess, by Osceola Parkway. You wrap around, head towards the park, and then it eventually takes you in through the main entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the main entrance, you go up the hill, you go through Africa, you make the right, then you kind of head towards China, you go all the way through China, and then it kind of takes you out the dinosaur area. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but you kind of go out the back road like you do on a regular course. And then you kind of do some back areas through there, then you end up back in the parking lot for the finish line. You grab your clues and you pretty much do it again.
Do the whole thing again.
Yep. But the first one is focused on the 5K, and the second loop is basically, it's slightly different because they've got to throw you off into different directions to kind of give you the clues so you're out of the way of the other runners.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Melissa, what did you think of the clues? I saw that you posted, a lot of people posted the clues online.
I hated them.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, I think, and I'm fine with being wrong, so please correct me, but the first one talked about an analog watch, and I think it meant a digital watch, and that's a big, and somebody else tweeted that too, confirming my sense.
You're right.
That's a big mistake to make, people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another big one too at the end, which I think Mike and Michelle would be very proud of, on clue number 5, if you caught that.
I cheated, so... I'll admit it.
Give me that medal back.
Yeah, I know. Well, but the way I look at it this way, the way the scavenger hunt is run, if you can't figure it out, you can go up to a cast member and say, I can't figure it out.
Mm.
So if I just chose to stand there and listen for a second while somebody else was figuring it out, just like going up to a cast member. Because in that first clue, I've taken a lot of standardized tests in my life. I ran it again and again and again, assuming that it was right. And assuming that the circumstances were right. And then when I figured out by hearing somebody else give the answer, I backwards designed to, the clue is wrong.
That backwards was design. I think I'm the only one on this, whoever listens to this, who will know what that actually means in education world.
Well, as long as that person hears it. Well, here's the thing. I'm in my non-mouse ears life, I'm a writing professor. Run Disney, if you're listening to this, go to the University of Central Florida and set up an internship with their professional writing program. It will solve so many, and it's free, and it will solve so many of your problems.
So what was the last mistake, Phil?
Well, the last mistake, essentially, the clue number 5 was a word search where they would give you, it'd be like, I think it was 2 times clue number 1, which meant that you had to find the answer from clue number 1 2 times in this word search. And so eventually all the letters that were left after you found all the words would lead to the location of the Yeti. And if paraphrasing here, but I think it was hold up the – they were supposed to say the Yeti can be found by holding up your card at the last stop, and then you hold up – there's a card with the Yeti on it. But they forgot an R out of the word card, so basically it said hold up your CAD. And we said, whoever wrote this is definitely from
the right one. Yeah, no, you didn't say it the right way.
Yeah, we would have got that right away.
Cod.
Cod.
Nice. Not your cad. Cad is a totally different thing. Right, Mike? Say cod.
Cod.
Oh, that's interesting. So, of course, the medal is spectacular. It's one I don't have.
The medals are spectacular, but there was a lot of reports of broken ones this year. And
last year, too, I remember that. You got one of them?
I got one of the broken ones. I'm not going to complain about it. It's definitely a cool medal. I like it a lot, but I didn't notice it was broken until it was gone. I probably wouldn't have switched it anyway because I kind of sentimental. The medal I earned is the medal I got. I picked it. It kind of was meant for me type of thing.
But, wow, that's deep. So is it the pin in the compass is broken and the needle fell off? Is that what I understand?
Mine is on, but it just always points north. It's kind of bent slightly. So I can tell, you know, it's there, it's attached. The one I had last year worked perfectly.
You're actually able to use it as a compass.
You really can, yeah.
Wow, interesting.
So let's talk about the after party, or the party, I guess.
You mean the potty?
The potty. Melissa.
You cad.
Melissa,
you
this
cad.
This was your first. This was your first Everest. Is that correct?
No, it wasn't. I went to one 2 years ago, and that was, in fact, the first time I got on the Mickey Milers. You interviewed me at Art of Animation. So.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I shouldn't bring that up because I told you in my little interview that I would never go back.
That's true. Well, I guess I want to
say never.
So I don't know if you could, like 2 years ago when you did it, if you did the party. I know Phil was there last year for the party. So I just want both of you, I'll start with Melissa, your take on this being the last Everest party, and how did it compare to what you recall was the last one that you had attended?
This time I was coming off a really, it's a really busy time at work, so I didn't last very long at the party. I want to throw in, though, that nothing printed said this was the last Everest, and I'm sure it is. I'm not trying to start a conspiracy theory, but I just found it interesting if they wanted to move T-shirts, you know, the I did it T-shirt, that it didn't say final Everest, because you know how people are. They would have sold more T-shirts, you know? And there was the announcers made reference to it when we were in the corrals, but that was the only reference to it I heard this weekend.
Yeah, I actually saw that. I heard Carissa say it on one of the Periscope broadcasts that Phil did, that it was the final one. So,
but I just thought it was so interesting they didn't use that to move merchandise. Again, get yourself a professional writer, people. So I didn't do much of the after party. We basically, because my friend is also a college professor, Michelle, so we were both beat. So we finished the race, and we got ourselves a burger at our Restaurantosaurus, and then we dragged back to the hotel. The 2 years ago, I did all the rides, and it was great. But this time, we just kind of called it a night. I find it very confusing, though, when you come out of the finisher shoot and you're sort of like directed to this dance party, and I just find that's over by Hester and Chester's Dino whatever, and I just find that party so like disorienting. It's a good thing they gave me a compass. Everything I'm saying tonight is I can't find anything.
Phil, what did you think of the party?
You know, I thought it was the same as last year, basically to a T. I thought they did a much better job with the crowd control. I remember last year, we had finished in the front of the pack last year, and it was kind of tough to navigate. They kind of held you up at a couple choke points and waited until there was a clearing and then let you go. I didn't notice as many choke points this year, and I'm not. And this was throughout the course of the race. I mean, it was a lot easier to move around in this time. I think they might have had more vendors set up because there wasn't too many lines for any of the food or beverages. And, it wasn't a lot of lines for the rides either. So I think that also might be attributed to a lot of people either not showing up or just leaving very early.
Do you think that, if you had to put a percentage of the number of people who did the race attending the after party, what would you say, 50%, 70%, 30%?
I'd say it probably spiked at 70, but it was consistently maybe about 53.
53.27. Could
yeah,
we
wasn't
say
exactly that? It was slightly more than half.
And so, how long did the party go until?
I think it went till 3 a.m.
Wow, Interesting. With what rides open? It was Everest, Dinosaur,
Cali River Rapids, and Primeval Whirl and the Dumbo Triceratops Spin.
Wow. So five rides for 3,000 people. 3,000 hot and sweaty people. And which ones did you go on? I know you went on Everest and Dinosaur.
Everest and Dinosaur. That was pretty much it. I can't stand Primeval Whirl. I need a chiropractor after that one every time. And I definitely wasn't going to get on the Cali River Rapids. I had too much technology on me, although I wanted to.
You know, Phil, we can back up about 15 minutes. You were saying how the mood was mellow. And I remember last year it was pretty, I don't want to say electric, but it was very, I don't know how to put it, but there was a lot of excitement in the air last year. And do you think that people were mellow, runners were mellow, because there is that thought that this was the final Everest and that those who participated are really big fans of the race?
There was definitely a lot of that going on, because there was a lot of the conversations with the strangers afterwards that I was meeting there were basically, oh, I'm so sad that this is the last one. I either just started running it this year or last year was my first, or a lot of them were, I've done every one and I'm very sad that this is going away. I mean, that was definitely the theme of the conversation.
So let's, as we bring this show home, I want to ask each of you the same question. I'm going to start off with Melissa. Number one, are you sad to see it go? And number two, if you could replace it with a race next year at this time, what would you replace it with?
I am sad to see it go, because everybody says, oh, it's a 5K. Why are you going down, you know, to just run a 5K? But one, as Michelle Scribner-McLean likes to say, there is no such thing as just a 5K. And two, even if you think there is such a thing, there's also the scavenger hunt afterwards. So it's a short race, but a long event, particularly if they make the clues wrong, then aren't you getting your money's worth, because it's going to take you forever.
That's true.
And I am sorry to see it go, because I like the Animal Kingdom emphasis of it. That park is really special at night. And I'm wondering if, you know, well, now they're going to, once Avatar is done, and when's that going to happen? Wednesday, Thursday? Once Avatar opens, they'll be open at night. So maybe that will fill the gap that I'm kind of feeling about not having this race. If I was going to, I would suspect that Star Wars is going to replace it, but I'm not a big Star Wars fan, sorry. So that's not really my race. I would just like to see something that still used Animal Kingdom, frankly, and still kept that sort of animal, you know, conservation theme.
Phil, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm very sad to see this one go. I thought it was a great event. The scavenger hunt adds so much more to it than just the race. And, you know, I'll echo Melissa's comments too. Running through Animal Kingdom at night is probably one of the best experiences you can have at a Run Disney event. The way they light it up and all the extra you know, decor that they add is, it just makes it something really special. And, you know, as far as what they should replace it with or what they might replace it with, you know, I'm actually thinking that they're going to do something longer, like a half. And I know one of the biggest criticisms is, well, you know, it's May, it's going to be very hot, the weather is not really conducive for that long of a distance. But I bring up Tower of Terror, where it's 10 miles and the weather is always blistering hot, even at night. I mean, that's consistent. Last year was pretty great, but October is very, very hot. I think it's hotter than May, especially at night, and that doesn't seem to bother them then. So as far as theming, I hope they keep it in the Animal Kingdom as well. I would like to see – I'm a big Star Wars nerd. I'm thinking like an Endor challenge would be great. But, you know, we'll see. I hope you're right. I hope they're going to announce something big in June.
Did you and Eve run for speed?
We did, yes. We actually – we placed 10th overall, including scavenger hunt, in the male-female
woohoo! Bracket. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, and we finished third in the 5K.
Wow. That's awesome.
And we were very happy about that. And I actually beat her.
Ah!
Really?
Ooh. I did.
That's cool. So before we let you go, Phil, we want you to just talk about the Small World Challenge one more time. We know you came and talked about it, but...
Sure, yeah, my pleasure. I mean, we're doing the Small World Challenge on August 8th. You can find out more information on thesmallworldchallenge.com. Basically, what we're trying to do is ride Small World for as long as we can. and raise money for Give Kids the World. It's an excellent cause, and this is just another fundraising vehicle. I encourage you to please go to the website and read more.
And approximately how many people are joining you?
I believe we've we're at 12 or 13 people in the park, and then that's on both coasts, which is a very good commitment so far. And then we've got a bunch of virtual racers.
That's cool. And I'll be there. Great. Well, thank you both.
One more thing on that. Sure, go ahead. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. If you are planning on attending the event in any shape or form, please go to the website and register. That way we know exactly how many people are coming.
Cool. Have I done that yet? I don't know. Have I? I don't know.
No, actually you haven't.
Okay. That was a not so subtle hint to me.
But you're nowhere near the only one.
So. Okay. So like if I'm going to the website, which I'm at right now, and I do participate,
you go
participate,
to participate.
Okay. Yep. All right. And, walk me through it.
And then you can click on, you're going to the Walt Disney World event, so click on Walt Disney World.
Okay.
You can read more about it there, but if you just scroll down towards the bottom of that participate page, there is a sign up form.
Got it. I'll do it right now as Mike is wrapping the show up.
All right.
So, is it the last Everest? Is it not the last Everest? Is this race going to be replaced by another race next year? Will it be a 5K? Will it be a 10K? Will it be a half, as Phil alluded? Will it be Avatar? Will it be Star Wars? Who knows? We'll just have to wonder. And if you have your own thoughts about it, we want you to chime in with your thoughts on our Facebook page and let us know. So we want to thank Melissa Iannetta and Phil for coming by and telling us about the experience. Melissa, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And Phil, once again, thank you for doing the Periscope broadcast on Saturday night. It was really fun to see you and everybody there, and we are looking forward to even more broadcasts down the road.
My pleasure, and I will definitely stock up on batteries. That was my only flaw.
Yeah, I kept on saying, gee, Phil, I hope your battery doesn't run out. Yeah. So.
And Melissa, thank you for holding a Mickey Miles meet and also for doing the social media as well. We really appreciate that. Although people kept on saying, are you at Walt Disney World? No, no, it's Melissa's feet that she tweeted a picture of, not mine. But we really appreciate it.
One of the great things about doing it is I'm learning so much about social media. You know?
It's very social.
And media.
So for Media Melissa Iannetta and for Phil Vanderpool and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/MickeyMilesPodcast. Where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/MickeyMilesPod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.